Hey, it's Herbert. And you're listening to the About Last Night podcast, you slippery little son of a bitch.
Hello.
What time is it there in New Zealand?
That's a personal question.
Yeah, but, you know, I feel like we're close enough that you can tell me and just me.
Nice. You got a mic now.
Oh, yeah. I got a Steve, too. It's in my butt. Sorry. Steve is the name I named my butt plug, so...
Yeah, I would like to think that I think if I had any sort of sex toy, I'd probably name it, right? If or is that a girl thing?
No, I don't know. If you have anything that you wear inside of you or that makes you come, I would hope that you would personify it somewhat.
All right, good to see you, Sam.
It's like Charlotte's Web, but for sex toys.
What would you buy first? In your, what do you think your marriage would be more open to? A cock ring or a butt plug? And by the way, if you buy both, who's the headliner? Who's the feature?
Well, the butt plug is the feature. And do you want me to give you the chronology of what we bought first?
Wait.
No, I'm just kidding. Oh. My wife is like, I bought you this beautiful cock ring and you never wear it. Like, it's for special occasions, honey.
Wait, it's like one of those shirts. Like, what are those shirts you get? Like, from I went to New York, and all my dad brought me back was this lousy T-shirt. Like, yeah. My mom went to the pleasure chest, and all she got me was this stupid cock ring.
It's a butt plug that reads, "My wife went to the pleasure chest and all she got me was this lousy butt plug. And if you're seeing this, you're up way too close or eating my butt."
Yeah. Or that's what the tattoo would say. Or yeah, it's like, yeah, there's gotta be a world where somebody gets, I don't know how quickly that would happen in a family that is that open. Like if you're, parents-in-law or anyone on the other side or any family member got you, you know, a sexual gift, would that be the end of the, or are you so comfortable in your, you know, dealings with people at this point that you know that you can like facial expression your way out of it, or like make a joke to be like, "Oh, thanks, Uncle Mike. Like, just what I always," or you can't ever have too many pairs of glow-in-the-dark handcuffs, and then you just walk away, right? Or what's the move?
Well, first, I mean, my parents got me a sexual gift, this Adonis-like body. That's one. Yeah, two, yeah. You know, everyone's got that relative that thinks they're funny, but they don't get context, right. You know? So, like, you got that relative that would get you, like, a vibrator and be like, "It's not for you, it's for her. Thank me later." You know, like.
Yeah, yeah. But you get to hold on to it. You're like, what?
You know, no one's more well-equipped to deal with that kind of situation than you or I. But at the same time, man, you got to be a real either moron or piece of shit to get a relative a sexual device.
I think so. I think.
Or, you know. You just have different priorities.
That's a, yeah. If you're buying, also, at when are you giving it? At the family once a year barbecue or sending it as a birthday gift? Probably, if you're buying it, you're giving it to them live because that person has says this when they give it to them. "I just wanted to see your face when you opened it."
Yeah. You know what, though? I mean, it might be creepy and it might be considered amoral by a lot of people, but if you got a 13-year-old boy a fleshlight for his bar mitzvah, that would be probably like, yeah, you're very cool rap. Like the like a rabbi who gets it.
Rabbi gets it.
Rabbi Getzowitz.
Rabbi Getzowitz.
He gets all the kids fleshlights and vibrators for their bar and bat mitzvahs.
You hear the Rosenblatts transferred temples? Why?
Why?
Bro, Rabbi gets it. Getzowitz.
He got it a little too close, Owitz.
Somebody, I saw on some podcast the other day, they were talking about how somebody had joked about using like Korean baby the skin that from the
foreskin.
Yeah. For like, you know, facial stuff. And, yeah. And they were saying how there's probably like a, I think it was Theo and Joe Coy about there being an underground market for the foreskin. And it just got me thinking about how people do get it later in life. And I feel like you missed your boat. If it didn't happen, I don't know when I got it. I think my mom said like, I think it was a baby, right?
Yeah, yeah.
But
who's probably had a bris, which means it was within 8 days of your birth.
Okay, cool. Yeah. Anything I'd say, I don't know, past one is you're going to remember that. And that's just like, you shouldn't have to not be allowed in having any say about who touches your penis first. Well, and at 8 days old, which by the way, is it 8 days because of that's how long the oil burnt? And that's for the kid, trying to keep it consistent with Hanukkah. You're like, it's going to be at least 8 days till he comes. So let's cut it off now. but you know, like
there are people that get adult circumcisions.
Ugh.
But
no, I mean, like, look, I mean, live your life. There's no wrong way to eat a Reese's and there's no bad time to cut off your foreskin. I have, you know, involuntarily seen it's, you know, uncircumcised weens in porns. And man, that is awful. Maybe just because I've gotten so used to my own concoction.
Pun intended. Zing.
We'll edit in a boing.
Abadi, abadi, abadi. Auga.
What would you prefer if you had a show? The actual sound effects or you on the mic, Howard Stern style, doing them like that? Or actually,
I think a combo of the two.
Maybe the drops of you doing it.
Boing.
Now, how many sound effects do you do in your debut comedy album, special album, Daddy Boy?
I maybe do like three or four sound effects. You know, I'm no Michael Winslow from Police Academy, but you know, there's gotta be a performative element. You can't just be up there rattling off jokes like a joke robot.
Yeah.
Thank you for bringing that up. You know, I'm pretty proud of it. It's way overdue. Should have put out an album years ago, but you know what? The stars aligned.
Yeah. Also, and, go ahead.
You know, there's a pandemic. There's a shortage on what people can consume. So it was obviously just the right time.
Okay. Thanks for coming by. This is at Sandy Danto on Twitter and Instagram. I wish I had the nerve to do that quick a podcast. Yeah. Circumcision. Give a quick plug and then back to butt plugs and then we're out.
We did everything that we needed to do.
How you've been doing stand-up how long?
14 years.
14 years. Yeah, I think you're that's, I don't think there's any, again, there's no blueprint for this. There's no like rule book for it. So things like putting out an album, getting a special, I think those are things that we all want pretty early on, because as soon as you get a little bit of momentum and rhythm as far as like success on stage, you feel like you're ready to put it all on tape.
After that first set where it goes well from start to finish.
Yeah.
You're just like, all right, I'm ready.
You're like,
where cool. Are the cameras? Where you're are like, the groupies?
All I got to do is tape this 3 minutes and write 57 more.
all I got to do is copy and paste these 3 minutes.
Yeah.
20 times.
See if Adam will let me borrow his Folgers joke. Now, you recorded it at the world famous Punchline in San Francisco, where I did my album, Read the Room. And you always come up there with me and then start getting your own headline spots because of just crushing it. And does it mean more that that happens frequently at that club because of how prestigious it is? And, you know, because, you know, you're in a place where, you know, you're stacking the chips and getting really strong and, you know, are could easily start headlining. There's just all other these other factors that go into that. I mean, even me now, it's like I have less opportunities because a lot of big acts are doing clubs and pushing guys at my level out a bit because they want to do shows. And so there's clubs that are figuring it out, but they necessarily don't have the means or desire to do like a outdoor driving thing. Also, they want the, you know, like we've had the club, you know, interaction and how much better that is. But is there something extra special about the Punchline being so revered and Molly, who runs the club and is considered, I think, like a Mitzi-esque figure in comedy, that she, you know, handpicked you to be someone to be up there more and then allow you to do it there?
Definitely. Like, obviously, there are certain clubs when you're a comic that mean more to you. The Comedy Store, obviously, but the Improv, but the Punchline is like is probably like the next one I would mention, just because Molly Schmidt-Key and the whole staff up there, and just there's something about San Francisco that I vibe with the people there. But they're not an easy crowd. And you'd think like, oh, they're going to San Francisco, they're going to be really hyper liberal and social justice-y, but they laugh at, if it's a good joke, it doesn't matter how taboo of a subject it is. And it does mean a lot more, especially because, all right, so fun fact, I used some of, when you recorded your album, I had my deal with 800 Pound Gorilla, who put out both our albums.
Yep.
And they recorded my sets. They're like, well, just, you know, record them and see. And then I ended up using some of the bits from those shows on my album.
That's awesome.
So it was, you know, for me, it was just like, I have a hard time just like making the decision, especially when it comes to something like, where am I going to record my album? That's like a like, it's just a hard thing to choose and the stars to align, especially after there was the prospect of that historic club in San Francisco not being there anymore because Google bought the building and they were going to kick them out. I was like, it's got to be there. It's got to be there.
So once it was almost taken away, you were like, well, now it's got to be. Also, think about, I think for you, it carries a similar significance that it does for me as far as one of the first places that headlined me spent so many time, had so many amazing comedy weekends there with Bobby Lee. You and I both started going up there with Bobby. And then how the just the fun that you and I would have there on and off the stage. And again, the city and the room, and it is an ideal comedy room because it's, you know, yeah, it's not a 350 or 500 seat really deep venue, but it's so intimate that it and the crowds are so sharp, but so generous and welcoming of silly and smart that if you're not connecting, you have no option to not connect and bring energy too. And especially in it being a smaller room, it's they're like, hey man, it's not that big in here. So if you're not bringing it, you're not going to hear it from us. And it's gonna.
Yeah. It's the kind of room that if you do what you're supposed to do and you're just yourself up there, it's gonna go well, no matter what. And that's not to say anyone can go up there and do great. Like, the room and the people in there and the atmosphere that's created by it, like, has a way of checking your credentials.
Yeah.
And that's what the comedy store is. That's what the improv is. And that's why I love those kind of clubs. And the first like major club I ever headlined was the Improv in Hollywood. Mm. I did 45 minutes. It was awesome. But the first place I ever did an hour on the road where it really felt like this is what headlining is, this is what doing your hour is, was at the Punchline. And it did feel that much more validating to do it there. Like I could have done it in the belly room at the store where you and I both like cut our teeth. There's no question about it. Like that room would mean a lot to
us. On the stool, doing
an act out of getting curb stomped. doing my American History X bit.
Wait, who? When you think of biting the stool, who do you immediately think of?
Bobby.
Yeah.
He does that bit where he bites the stool and flips it over with his mouth.
And he's acting like it's his girlfriend, right? No, what is he?
Oh, God, I wish I could remember the bit verbatim, but I used to be able to remember it, and now it's been so... You know what? That's one of the bits he's phased out.
Yeah. How long did it take you to decide the material? Because I feel like, you know, you write so much and you have, even when I was talking to you about putting together a late night set and you had, or I think it was submitting for Adam Devine's house party back in the day, and you had submitted like an all new tape. And I was like, what about this and this and this that crush all the time? And you're like, oh, that's older stuff. It was like maybe a year or two old, but I was like, well, this is trying to be your first time out. And that stuff hasn't, and you forget too, that just because it might be, I feel a little old to you, it's like, well, they're still billions of people that haven't even heard it, and it's going to be new for the first time for. So how far back in your catalog or notebooks did you go to compile it, and how much did you go, all right, I want to have some new things, some newer things, but I want to make sure that I crush it from top to bottom?
Something old, something new, something shiny, something blue.
Yeah.
That's blue.
Because I listened
butt plugs.
Because I listened to some of the free streaming things, and it sounded so good, and it was, your energy was great, and I couldn't wait to listen to the whole thing. Which available now, or right?
It's available everywhere now.
Okay, great.
Wherever you like apps that I didn't even know existed, it's on.
Like buttplug.com.
Yeah, like you can stream it through your butt. It's got like sonic waves, the way dolphins communicate. It streams up through your colon.
Can you Shazam the album, you think? If you just heard
that's a good question.
It playing, can you like...
I'm going to try that later, but I bet you could. Because it's connected to like Apple Music, Spotify, all those apps.
Okay, so it's on all the places you get it. Yeah. Okay, so yeah, what was the organization of the...
You know what? I'm going to answer this question, but I want to ask you the same question about yours. Not necessarily this last one, because I was there for the recording and I listened to it and I know the answer to the question, but for Pop-Tart Suicide, that was your first like real... I mean, yeah. I have In Your Boobs still on on compact disc.
Oh, man.
But I don't think
keep
that
it closed.
You...
Yeah.
There's nobody there, but there's somebody there, and I see you. Hey guys, comedian Adam Ray here. Thanks for listening to the About Last Night podcast. I hope you're enjoying the episode, and I hope you're doing okay. It's a crazy, crazy time right now, and if you're a little uneasy, I get that, and I've also got the answer. Koi CBD. Say it with me. Koi CBD. Feels good, and it does feel good because I use all their products. I've been fucking with the fellas at Koi CBD since my circumcision, and I'll tell you this much. They're the best in the game, okay? Gummies, bath bombs, tinctures, joints, creams, oils. They got stuff for pets. Koi CBD has been giving the people what they need to feel better, to mellow out, to go to sleep right, to take away the aches and pains with the creams and oils. The bath bombs make bathing just the best thing ever. You get a little radiation high from the balms. I don't know what's in it, but fucking goodness and just all sorts of... It's amazing, okay? It feels like drugs. And it's not, because it's CBD. So, if you want to get these amazing products, and I know you do, because they got the Adam Ray stamp of approval, go to KoiCBD.com and put in the code ALN15 to get 15% off your first order. KoiCBD.com, the promo code ALN15 to get 15% off your first order. Do it today and start living and feeling the right way. And now, back to the episode.
There's a lot of sophomoric goofy.
We listened to it together recently, didn't we? Like a couple years ago?
On a drive, yeah.
And it was, oh my God, so funny.
Yeah, and then I did Fat Camp, which was, I recorded at Lestat's. And I think that is out there. And then Pop-Tart Suicide was, I really rushed that one because I was going on Craig Ferguson and I wanted to have something stand-up-wise to promote. Also, I was like, I think I was 9 or 10 years in at that point and I wanted... I was like, I'm ready to put an album out. And also hearing Craig Ferguson say "Pop Tart Suicide" in his Scottish was—I mean, he even laughed. He was like, "What the fuck am I saying right now?"
Like you said, there's no timeline and all that, and I've been doing it 14 years. This is my first album, and I went back, I'm 14 years in. There are some good jokes from 12, 13, 10, 8 years ago that I just don't do because they're like, I cycle through jokes like every couple months and, I have some standbys that I keep in because I know they work for the road and all that. But like, I try to write as much as I can. And so I forget about bits. So I did go back through notebooks as far as like 13 years ago. Cause I was like, these are good jokes that I just need to document.
Yeah.
Like they may not apply to my life anymore, but the way I did the album was like, it's called Daddy Boy because I have a kid now, but I still identify as a child myself.
Which I think is great.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think you're a better parent if you can access more of your kid-like features.
For sure.
Only being an uncle and not being a father, which I know probably real parents hate when non-parents are like, here's how being a parent is,
it's definitely that something that you have an awareness of. So that makes it easier to relate to you on. But like, that's the exact thing relating with kids. It's like, you see the parents who are like, cut that out. Stop it right now. You're going to get a timeout. It's like,
quit being a kid.
Yeah, you got to like put yourself in the kid's shoes and like deal with them in a way that would be effective from their point of view. Like what's going to make them stop yelling at them isn't that. And so you're absolutely right. Like being able to identify, like people are like, I identify as, whatever gender. Me, I identify as a child, even though I'm a grown up. And so the album being titled Daddy Boy, and having those old jokes that don't necessarily apply to my life anymore, it was about like the album is about that journey of like going from being like this young juvenile man in stand-up all the way to the arc of like getting married, trying to make a child, it being difficult and not knowing that that's even a thing. And then like the whole spectrum of like spanning my stand-up career. So there are some jokes, like there's a joke I did. It was like my first joke that I was proud of, not the first joke that did real well, but the first joke that I was like, this is a cool joke about me going to rehab. Whereas like, but you got to get addicted to something else. So I got addicted to cheesecake, but then I had to go to cheesecake rehab. That was like one of my, and then it's like a whole long thing. And then the punchline's like, so now I just do drugs. Yeah. And
that's so funny.
But yeah, like, otherwise it's like these good jokes that you write that you forget that fall by the wayside, they just never get documented. And maybe for the next one, there will be other jokes from like 2007, 2008, 2011, whatever, that I look back in notebooks. I'm like, this will work in the context of what I'm trying to do here. But like, I just picked out jokes that I thought were funny that I don't do anymore. I mean, plenty of jokes that I do. The funny thing is like there were a lot of jokes that were in my current rotation when I recorded the album that I didn't put in there just because I was like, well, like you write a joke and you do a joke and you record it or you put up a video of it, or you do it for TV. And then like a week later, you come up with like two new tags that you're just like, fuck, I wish I got that on the
show. Of course.
In the recording or on the tape or, you know, whatever it is. So I was just cognizant of that and didn't want to have these jokes that I'm excited about doing right now, but could get better because I've only been doing them for so long. So, you know, to answer your question, yes, I went back. I went back a ways.
I've always enjoyed your joke style, which is why I think we're a good complement to each other in a show.
And I yours.
Because you have great energy and you're so likable, but you can also, your stuff is definitely in chunks where, whether it's, you know, stuff about being married and kid stuff or some just observational stuff, some personal lifestyle stuff, weight stuff, whatever. And, but you can also, I don't know if that was ever like a on purpose move. What's the word for that?
Now you got me not being able to.
Oh man, I saw it. I couldn't
conscious
say it.
Decision.
There it is. you, an on purpose maneuver.
One of my favorite maneuvers, other than the Heimlich,
is the on purpose.
What other maneuvers are there? Heimlich and what else? On purpose, Heimlich. The three fingers maneuver, which goes back to the butt plug stuff.
But do you, was that a conscious move to be able to, even in like a 10 minute set, you could do one joke from each chunk and just kind of spread it out? Or, and was it difficult stringing a through line together of the set? And did you have one? Or were you like, all right, I'm just going to do the chunk of this up top first because it's fun and it's personal, so it's good get to know you material, and then I'll kind of, you know, go in the theme of how my life has gone as far as like marriage, kid, you know what I'm saying? Because I would feel like it would be premature to just open with like I have a baby, right?
Yeah, for sure. I definitely structured it in that kind of a way where it was like, you can't just like immediately launch into your autobiography. You know, you gotta do some get to know you stuff.
Yeah. It's all, I mean, it truly, a stand-up set is truly like, you know, a first date or a business interview where you're like, you need to, you know, give, you know, celebrate yourself, share about yourself, be self-deprecating, be likable. But you can't come with the hits right away. Like, you know, tell me about yourself. Well, you know, I mean, unless you're, I guess, the current president, then it's just like,
right?
You know, I'm the perfect specimen. I'm the perfect specimen. Mm-hmm. I heard him say today, but like, you wouldn't open with like the best of the best highlights. You want to like ease in with, like, what is your opening line on the album? Do you know?
I think it's just blur, okay, man. Okay. I. Enough, you don't have to. Oh, good time to take a drink right when I start talking. Perfect. Okay. I feel like I always comment on the energy. It either like, if it's too high, I'm like, all right, I can't live up to that.
Yeah.
Or if it's too low, like, all right, why don't we bring the energy up a little bit? It feels like do I need to come down and match your energy by taking some sort of a sedative? I think, at least for me, especially because the bulk of the time I'm featuring. And so at least on the road, you know, like, or even at the Comedy Store, like I'll do the 9 o'clock spot a lot, and the energy level, you know, a first impression, whether it's like of you to the people who are watching you on stage or just in the show in general, like you need to, a tone needs to be set. And obviously tones can change throughout the show. Energy changes throughout the show, but it's important to like have a consistency in what your expectations are. And you know, obviously the audience has an expectation for you, but I've always liked to think that if you go up and tell the audience what your expectations are of them, everyone gets on the same page, and that energy can be more fluid, and that enthusiasm can be more fluid. And that way, when there are dips and you call it out, you can just be honest and be real and like break the fourth wall a little bit. And everyone feels like they're getting experience of the real you, and you're experiencing the real them.
Yeah. Has being married and having a kid made you a better comic? And because I have known you before, during, and seeing you when we were in San Diego and got an Airbnb, and seeing you interact in the pool with your wife, your lovely, beautiful wife, Sal, and Sally, call her Sal.
You're close enough. You can abbreviate it.
Okay. And then
I'm married to a guy named Sal, a fat Italian guy named Sal.
But he just transitioned. and the way you interact with your daughter is like, you're still very much, and they adore you, which I love, that your humor and sensibility doesn't change. And obviously, with Sally, and she's got such a sharp, wit and bounces back with you, which definitely, and I can speak from my own experience, helps, because it's the same thing of growing up and having funny friends around us that don't just laugh and be yes men, but also feed you, set you up, but then also you can set them up. So you really can learn how to have a give and take, right? And you and Sally have that. Go ahead.
Yeah, no, it's, you know, you don't think about your own life and interpersonal dynamic with your wife and kid in a certain way, but it's really cool to hear an outsider's perspective, especially from someone that we're so close with. And that's really cool. And yeah, like I'm not one of these people that is like a different person in my day-to-day like family life than I am with my boys. You know, I'm like the same. Everyone has different aspects of their personality, and definitely there's like the doldrums of day-to-day life where you're kind of just like doing what you got to do, taking care of your kid, running errands, doing tasks, washing your face, wiping your daughter's tushy, things like that, where it's like your full personality is she wipes mine, I wipe hers. It's all part of the learning process. Where you're like, your full personality isn't coming out all the time, but like, yeah, I am who I am with them. And that way there's like, no, I just don't want to have to like work extra hard to like hide who I really am. So I've just gotten the people in my life used to my outlandish personality.
Yeah. Like you have a great joke that I don't know if it's on the album, but, and I'm going to butcher it, but it's about having some sort of wipes like next to the bed or something where about you so grossing funny. Her out, and she says, next time just say blah blah blah. Is that on the album?
It's about, I hope, if it's not, I'm gonna have to put it on the next album. I don't think it is. Fuck, I forgot. Maybe I did that bit at the show. I can't remember, but it's like my wife asked me what, like, the joke is about how I don't know the difference between honesty and oversharing. I'm really honest. And my wife asked me, why do you keep a bottle of lube on your nightstand? We've never used it. I'm like, it's hand sanitizer. Why do you have hand sanitizer on your nightstand? Well, sometimes in the middle of the night, my butthole itches. And what, I'm like, what, am I not going to scratch it? It woke me up. I'm uncomfortable. I got to do something about it. So I'm not going to go to the bathroom to wash my hands. I'm already laying down. She's like, I'm gonna stop you right there. Next time, just tell me you're cheating on me.
Yeah, that's definitely. It's also like you can tell that that's probably a real conversation, and you're. I don't know. You weren't like a real angry person pre-kid, but I know that it's mellowed you out a little bit. And I want to know, is that something that you welcome and celebrate? That how she's kind of affected your life and the way you write and just approach life? Or has, I mean, obviously there's still stresses that come with being a parent, right? So there's a new set of things to be concerned about that can derive material.
Well, now I just use classic dad idioms like cool your jets, or I've had it, or I'm fed up.
Have you seen all those? Yeah, what's your go-to?
I say, I've had it up to here with you.
I'm gonna turn
turn this goddamn car around.
Yeah. I did see her in the street on your Instagram during some Halloween parade in your cul-de-sac.
We just moved into this new neighborhood. There's a house like a block away from us that does reggae concerts every Saturday night, and they did one for Halloween.
Only Shiloh would move into a neighborhood and where that sentence is possible.
I know.
Living there.
I know. It's unreal.
Wait, have you met them, or did you just enjoy their tunes and wave from
I just
afar?
Enjoy their tunes, and I am going to reach out to them. Oh, I'm very excited about it.
And so your daughter was just living it up in the street.
She was jacked up on sugar. She was like crushing up nerds and snorting them.
She's a Danto.
She's a Danto for sure. But you know what? To go back to your last question, and I'll follow it up with the answer to this one. Like, I do feel like it's made me more mature of a comic and have more of a worldview and more relatable in general. But I do think it's taken away, like, I just don't hang out with my friends as much. And that's where I'm, like, really coming up with my most creative inspiration is, like, joking around with other comics and other friends that, you know, like, me and you, we make each other funnier. Like, when we're around each other, we're just more on. And we all have, as comics or even just friends who don't do comedy, friends that, like, you feel funnier around.
Right.
And I don't get necessarily as much of that, but luckily, like, I feel that way with my wife and my kid. But it's just different. You need to get, like, different looks at it. And, like, I obviously don't, like, a lot of my comedy before I settled down was about, like, getting fucked up and partying and doing degenerate type shit. So there isn't that sort of creative inspiration to build around, and that's okay because I've got new stuff and, like, more of a mature worldview and more broad topics that I cover now.
Yeah.
But definitely, like, having a kid makes you both angrier and less angrier. Like, I grew up loving Costanza and Jerry Stiller and crotchety, curmudgeon
DeVito
characters that, like nothing will make them fly off the handle, the littlest thing. And I always thought that was funny. And I kind of, my parents both have short tempers, so I always thought it's real funny. And so I adopted that, but then it has mellowed me out in that, like, I've learned, you know, what is worth getting mad over.
Picking your battles.
Exactly.
That's an acquired skill set, man, that I really have in the last year, I think, tried to be aware of, because it's just like some things are not worth it. And even online, I try to be very implement that mindset of, like, dude, do you really need to comment on somebody else's shit that you're not even friends with? Which I did yesterday. But I'm always doing it in jokes now. I at least am not just straight up being like,
yeah,
if I'm gonna post something that is clearly, you know, gonna maybe create some divide or, you know, some nasty follow-ups from people I haven't talked to in 20 years or don't know, I at least try to always have jokes. And then like some kid the other day, I should have saved it. I commented on, this is again, somebody who I'm not friends with page. Oh, Bronston Jones, a comedian. I commented on his page because he posted something that was, you know, not supporting Trump, which I was a fan of. And then the guy commented on Bronson's thing with a lot of negativity and whatever. And then I commented on his thing. and he had basically his profile picture. I just always try to go to their profile and find something in there to, like, dissect. And it was just an owl. Mm-hmm. And I go, I've never trusted anyone whose profile pic was an owl. And he goes, I don't even, you shouldn't talk. I can't even take what you're saying with any sort of validity because it's obviously not an owl. He said, like, it's a, I don't know, a Pegasus or like an aardvark. What's an owl adjacent? Would you even know what creature?
A griffin? Like a
no
griffin?
It was something else. It was like, oh, fuck, I was going to save it. But then even just that, I just put, like, ha. And I was like, that's the only thing you could have come back with, like, and then something else. And then I was just like, what am I doing? But again, like, trying to be funny about it at least minimizes my emotional investment. But especially with being a parent, I can only assume that there's a daily occurrences where you're like, am I going to get riled up about this, or am I going to save that energy or try to harness that energy towards things that are going to help everybody versus, you know, get my ass kicked at a 7-Eleven in front of my daughter.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's like, it's twofold, because you don't want to take some sort of mood change from an external situation, like some online commenter. Like, all right, today I went to go pick up lunch for my family with a friend of mine who just moved to LA, who offered to help me unpack some boxes in my house. And there was a Trump caravan rally going on. Yeah. And, you know, I don't understand this. Like, what's the end game here? You're trying to gather support for a presidential candidate by causing traffic for other people and honking your horn and making noise. It makes no sense. My friend yelled, "Fuck you" to them. I was like, don't do that. Like, that's what they want. They want you to get mad at them. They want that attention. Yeah. If you just ignore it, that's going to make them mad.
Yeah.
They want you to get mad at them. And I think a younger, less mature, less child responsible version of me would have fucking yelled at them and gotten mad and been like, fuck this traffic, you assholes. And I would have taken that emotion out on whoever I'm around after it's over, because it doesn't just end there. You know, you still feel your feelings. So, like, I don't want to get involved in situations with, like, people at a store who's like making my day less convenient. Like, that's the kind of thing that pisses me off. Like, don't make my life less convenient. Okay. Don't be a dick. But I don't get upset about those things anymore. But also, you don't want to set a bad example for your kid and show them that that's like how you should react by like flying off the handle and getting mad about everything.
So there's not going to be a Sandy Danto Karen video at a Whole Foods in
Adam, there's always a good possibility that what I'm saying will not apply to any given situation. These are just things I've learned and that I try to apply on a daily basis. I try to meditate for 1 minute a day. That's what me and my therapist, that's our plan. One minute a day of just closing your eyes and breathing. And it's pretty achievable. Wow. But
1 minute is that sounds very achievable. Like 20 minutes, you lost me. You lost me at, hey, how about, nope, you lost me. But only a minute, if you don't got time for that, you don't got time.
Just close your eyes and take one deep breath. I guarantee you it'll fix some of your life. But that being said, you don't know. Everybody's got their breaking point. Everybody can be triggered. You know, like, I definitely think it's still funny to get angry. And it's fun. Yeah. It's fun to yell at people.
I know
it, because you know what? It's not about that situation. You're never like so angry because someone cut you in line at Walgreens. You're angry about something else and you're taking it out on someone in your life or someone who's not in your life. So there's no consequences.
Yeah. I yelled at a family that was falling around my fiance at a grocery store for about an hour that was definitely trying to kidnap her. And so I walked into the Ralph's and beeline right to them and just start screaming at them. And they all looked like people that would kidnap someone from a grocery store. And they all didn't say anything. They all just were like the son was like, and the mom was like, and the dad was like, and I was like, and I was like, hey, stop following around my girl and trying to kidnap her, you fucking weirdos. And they all just were like, and didn't say like, hey, you got the wrong people. Like, back off, buddy. They all just went like, you got it. And they all looked if Central Casting was casting the three grocery store kidnappers, hey, these people were them. It was the Goonies mom and fucking the kid who was trying, that was making fun of Jonathan Taylor Thomas for having cancer on Home Improvement, and the David Hyde Pierce's crackhead stand-in. That's who these.
I just imagine guys with bangs.
A lot of bowl haircuts, and the mom had like a trench coat, but like, you know, a trench coat that she was looking to fill with granola bars and toilet paper, not watches and wallets.
Jesus.
Yeah, Christ. Terrifying.
Amanda is very like
kidnappable.
I was that's what I was going to say. I was like, "You know what? If I was a kidnapper and I saw her, I'd be like, that's the
Yeah, because you're not looking to sex trafficker. You're looking to make a friend, and you're like, hey, she'll probably add some positivity to my
she's
life.
She's so, you know what? She would get kidnapped, and she would, you know, she would just be friendly about it. She'd be sweet, and she would fight. She would like, she would fight back. She would stick up for herself, but she would also just be pleasant to be. She's so nice to be around.
Yeah.
Like, that's why you'd want a kidnapper. You'd be like, this is a nice person to be around. Good energy, sweet, caring.
So the album's called Daddy.
Not so bad to look at. Should I dig myself a deeper hole about kidnapping your fiance, your sweet fiance?
By the way, where's that reality show from the producers of 90 Day Fiance come kidnapping your fiance? Do you watch any, do you have any go-to programs during the queue?
Oh my God, dude, I've watched so many. I right now I'm just in the thick of The Wire. I watched it all the way through for the first time and I just started over. But I've watched, dude, 90 Day Fiancé is so good.
It is. I should get into it, huh?
Yeah, it's great. But I've watched Better Call Saul, Breaking Bad, The Watchmen,
so many.
I can't even remember all the shows I've watched in the quarantine. Do you remember the show called Tiger King? Do you remember that shit?
Yeah, that was. It's funny how I think we also loved that show even more because we knew it represented like this is going to get us through this time and then we'll be back to normal. So
we're going to talk about Tiger King the way our grandparents talk about fighting in World War II.
Yeah. I mean,
and then Joe Exotic married another young boy who wasn't even gay.
The fact that Carol Baskin is not related to the ice cream fortune and is still relevant is crazy to me.
Yeah.
But that's the power of television. And, you know, that's the power of social media. And that's why when people listen to Daddy Boy, they need to be active with sharing it, telling their friends about it. I know you got some clips that you posted from it, which is essential. Are there things that you think about now that you go, oh man, this is going to be like, is there a certain time that you would go, hey, put this album on? You know what I'm saying? Like, is it a great like sit down, smoke a J album? Is it a great have it on in the background driving? You know what I'm saying? Because there's some albums that are just so. There definitely is a musicality to comedy and you have a very easy listening style. So I feel like it's like, but it's like you know, there's certain things you don't like. I won't listen to a Stephen Wright album while I work out, but I'd listen to a Gaffigan album because he's got enough energy and enough jokes per minute to keep me interested. And you're the same way. But is there a
time and a place? It's a great comedy album to kidnap someone to.
Hey guys, Adam Ray here for the About Last Night podcast. Hope you're enjoying this episode. Obviously, it's a very difficult time for everyone right now. We're all challenged in finding a day-to-day routine that makes our lives consistent and awesome. And if there's something that's interfering with your happiness right now or preventing you from achieving your goals, BetterHelp Online Counseling is there for you. BetterHelp is a professional counseling service online, private, and it's so convenient. I've used it for a little bit now. It's truly the only way that I've found to help get my own issues dealt with on my own time at my own pace. You can schedule secure video or phone sessions, plus chat and text with your licensed professional counselor right now. They're specialized in depression, anger, stress, anxiety, family conflicts, LGBT matters, grief or relationships, sleeping, which I have a lot of trouble with, trauma, self-esteem. Anything that you share with them is confidential.
And guess what? If you're not happy with your counselor for any reason, at any time, you can request a new one for no additional charge. There's 3,000 U.S. licensed therapists across all 50 states, available worldwide. And again, there's four ways to communicate with them: text, chat, phone, and video. You can start communicating in under 24 hours. It's available on any desktop, mobile web, Android, and iOS apps. Schedule a video or phone session, generally weekly, unless your therapist schedules more. Unless you just are really not sleeping and need to get some additional chats in. There's broad expertise in the network, which may not be locally available in many areas. Financial aid is available for those who qualify. It's secure, it's convenient, it's professional, and above all, it's affordable, all right? It's truly the most affordable option I've found. So right now, all ALN listeners are going to get 10% off your first month with a discount code About Last Night. So why not get started today and start making some changes for the better in your life? You deserve it. So go to betterhelp.com/aboutlastnight. Simply fill out a questionnaire to help them assess your needs and get matched with a counselor that you'll love. That's betterhelp.com/aboutlastnight. Betterhelp.com/aboutlastnight and get 10% off your first month with promo code About Last Night. And now back to the episode.
Somebody DM'd me and said they were listening to it on mushrooms, and I was like really flattered because, you know, I'm a big fan of exploring yourself in the world by way of psychedelic substances. So yeah, that's very cool to me. And sitting down smoking a J on a long car ride, or just in short, you know, just listen to little snippets, track at a time, you know, here and there. But you know what's weird? I don't know. Do you remember hearing about comedy at like Red Fox's party album? Like you used to hear, but like old comics like put out albums and they were party. Like you'd go to a party in the 60s or the 70s and someone would put a comedy album on. Can you imagine if that happened now? Like that just doesn't happen anymore.
Yeah, like people sitting around. I mean, I guess it does happen for like Chappelle or Burr, like people, Sebastian. There's quite a few guys, Andrew Schultz. I mean, there's people that come out with stuff and people gather around the fire.
I think that's different. I think that's like comedy fans getting together to experience that sort of thing. But if you're just at a party and people, you know, drinking, there's music, maybe there's some little hors d'oeuvres out, you know, like pigs in blanket. Ooh, everyone's favorite hors d'oeuvre at a party. Chips and guac, like a really good guac. And somebody put on a comedy album, you'd be like, you're killing the vibe, man. Like, because you got to like listen to the jokes, you know? Sometimes you catch a punchline here and there and you laugh, but like there's stuff you'll miss or it just doesn't feel right if you're not like, you can work out and listen to it. Yeah, for sure. But it's just the kind of thing you got to pay attention to, I guess.
You couldn't do these Sandy Danto workout videos though, which have gotten you quite famous on Instagram, which you even come up to on stage as a credit, and you've even gotten kicked out of gyms for being so brave. I think in Arizona, right, you got asked to leave the gym and threw quite the fuss.
There was a gym patron who I got into a fight with, which I took that anger with me afterward. But yeah, he was taking videos of me, and I was like, that's happened before, and it's because people think it's funny to see a husky fella running dancing and being agile and on a treadmill, like
being agile. Yeah,
going like, I sometimes I'll set up like three treadmills in a row and do dance moves across all three.
Yeah, it's ambitious.
And I'm tempting fate on purpose, because if I catch myself getting hurt on a treadmill on video,
world
I'm
star
going straight to the world star, America's funniest,
Jeff Jarrett,
you know, Tom Bergeron, here I come, baby.
Yeah.
But this guy, I was like, hey, would you mind sending me that video? He's like, no. I was like, why not? He's like, I'm sending it to the manager of the gym. You can't be doing that. I was like, are you fucking with me? He's like, no. And he was being like a genuine asshole.
Yeah.
And then I was just like, you can't film people without their permission. Send it to me or delete it from your phone. Like, you could, let's go tell the manager right now what I was doing. Let's see if he cares.
Adult
tag. Signed a I signed a waiver waiving my right to the gym being liable. Like, why are you being a old man Karen? He was just an old man Karen. Nothing. And then I made him delete it. And he, after like 20 minutes of arguing, it was annoying. But you know what? It's a funny story. And I'm getting a treadmill. I just bought a green screen and I'm getting a treadmill and I'm going to do treadmill videos in front of the green screen. So it's like, oh, Sandy's dancing on a treadmill in Turkey right now. Very not cool to the Armenians, but he's doing it.
Are you going to? Wow.
Wow. Or like Sandy's in Antarctica on a treadmill. I didn't even know they had treadmills there.
I mean, if you can, I wonder what sort of, if you did like a treadmill dancing video with like penguins just walking around behind you in Antarctica, would you get some sort of like PETA hate mail?
I don't know. Where
is PETA, like, are penguins tied to PETA?
I think penguins are, but let me ask you this. If a PETA member moves into a house that has a rat infestation.
Oh boy, is this some like fucked up riddle?
No, but like, all right, like we, before we moved into the house, we had to get an exterminator.
Yeah, that's customary.
There were rats, and like no one wants to live with rats. So if you're like an animal rights person,
yeah, you move Ratatouille into a place was with rats. Good, but not based on a true story.
Right, but like, are you making Ratatouille the reality show? Or are you like, don't tell anyone else in PETA, but I got an exterminator.
Yo, rats, ferrets, raccoons, bye-bye. Mary
possums, hey, no. No one needs your three rows of teeth, possums. You're gross. Yeah, possums, no one likes you.
Rats, even mice.
Mice.
People that are like, they're so cute. What? No. What? Dude, do you also look at your shit after you and go, oh, do we have...
That was a good one.
We have to flush it.
Can we keep it, Mom? Oh yeah. Any vermin of
mice are poop with tails, and rats are diarrhea, and possums are, you know, like they're all
kidney
just,
stones. With
they're
tails.
Just I don't know. They're and rodents. Three rows and they're of so they're not. Maybe they're friendly, but look, anything that just is running around, like squirrels, are the only one I'll give an exception to. I still wouldn't bring.
They got that cute bushy tail.
Yes, and they've also
been... the thing with the acorns, you know.
Yes, they've also been, you know, well, see, now I guess I'm going against my own thought saying, like, Chippendale's Rescue Rangers.
Well, I was going to say Chipmunk's honorable mention, Chippendale. Why is there a kid's show with the same name as a all-male dance review? I've never understood that.
But you never see a cartoon possum, right?
Hell no.
You never see... I mean, and
Walt Disney made a huge gamble... putting everything on the shoulders of a cartoon mouse. But did he make Mickey and Minnie look like the mice that you see with those beady little red eyes? Hell no. He made them barely recognizable to other mice.
Yeah, here's Walt Disney in the pitch meeting that trying to get them to do a story about mice. He's like, we should make some cartoon Jews, possums. Oops. They go, what'd you
some
just
Jewish
say?
Possums.
Jewish possums. Two things everyone hates. Splash Mountain's open. Did you hear? By Walt Disney.
Oh, my God. That just reminds me of the Jimmy and Joey joke. Italians don't go to Disneyland because Mickey Mouse, he's a rat. He's only got four fingers. What happened to the fifth one? Cut it off for being a rat.
Now that's Italian.
That's Italian.
Yeah, they do. And every joke. I remember in the main room, I went up before them and went out to watch them. Because remember, we would do their shows at like the Sportsman's Lodge and stuff. Yeah. And they did a joke where they go, I went up to this girl and said, hey, do you like meatballs? Or you go, first of all, it was like, hey, Jimmy. He's like, yeah, Joey. So I met this girl the other day. Keep going. I will. And I said, hey, do you like meatballs? And she goes, yeah. And I go, well, then meet these balls. Now that's Italian. I was like, no, that's actually sexual harassment. But thanks for playing.
Oh my God.
Yeah, is having a new house, is it just, I mean, like, talk about, this has been a great, we're talking about this. When I saw you before I came down under, which I think I rented before I also flew to Australia. But you came over and just were having probably the best month of your life, right?
Yeah.
Some personal sweet news, some family rocking and rolling. I think you hadn't got the house yet that you were, or no, you just maybe closed on it. And album coming out, movie coming out, Comedy Store doc you were in, which was incredible, which I want to talk about that before we wrap up. But
yeah, I got like two sentences in it.
Dude, hey, that's more than I got a pan by and seeing a blurry me.
Yeah, yeah. It may have been blurry to you, but it was very clear to me.
Well, but because I was very clearly sitting in the row of OR chairs, looking at Binder and the camera crew, leaning forward, like, so it was very obvious. You guys
shooting something?
You guys want to ask me some questions about answering phones for 3 years? Do you have a great Mitzi story?
I mean, I'm lucky enough to have gotten to spend time with Mitzi Pauly, who I started interning for before I really got I interned for him while I was working another full-time job. And then the first time I met Mitzi, she was at the store with Tommy and I was working the door and I was really scared. And I just said hi to her and that it was good to see her here. And then Tommy came up to me later. She's like, Mitzi thinks you have good energy, so we'll let you stay working the door and doing stand up because otherwise you'd just be back in the video room. But then I was lucky enough that you know, I have a relationship with Pauly. He would take me over to spend time with his mom. And sometimes she was out of it. But other times she either like thought I was somebody else. I'm convinced that there were times she thought I was Belushi. And she was like joking around with me. And there were times when she would joke around with me and like make fun of Pauly to me. And there were other times she's like, oh, you're Pauly's friend. And not be that nice to me. And other times where just like I would talk to her and she just would not respond at all. So
Pauly coach you on how to, engage with her.
Yeah, dude, it's my mom. You know, she's the queen. She's the queen of stand-up. So you got to make a good impression. Just, you know, like don't talk too much and like, you know, be cool. Be who you are. Just be yourself. She'll like you. You're funny looking. So she'll like you. And she's like, hey, mom, this is my friend. Isn't he funny looking? And she'd be like,
Did you feel pressure to do a joke or anything in front of her? Or would he say, do it?
No, he said, don't. He said, don't do that.
Yeah.
And I knew not to do that. But the first time I ever met her, and Pauly and his mom are both Jewish. The first time I ever met her, well, the first time was with Tommy. The second time, we brought her a Christmas tree. He's like, dude, we're going to go pick out a Christmas tree, bring it to my mom. And we brought her a Christmas tree. And this was the time I think she thought I was somebody else because she was joking around with me. She's like, what do I fucking need a Christmas tree for, Pauly? I'm fucking Jewish.
Wow, dude. Yeah, it's a bummer that we can't have like an album release party for you at the store. And I think we should when things resume. Maybe. We should do one anyway, because you know we would, and people would flock to it and support, just like everyone should do with this album, Daddy Boy, which is available everywhere, top to bottom. It's not only something to be funny on stage and to have honed your craft like you have since I've known you, and have your writing get exponentially better. And it's cool to have a front row seat to somebody that truly not only stage presence gets better, you somehow get more likable, and then the writing just, you know, you grow into your words a little bit more. And it's like you end up cutting fat on things and things just, you know, you can tell when you see like something that's happened or that something you've said, how you can much quicker implement it into your set and start to play around with it. So I'm a big fan of you and this album, and I'm pumped that you finally did one, and everybody should go listen to it and enjoy it.
Adam, like from the bottom of my heart, that means so much to me, especially I feel that way about you. You're like, it's, I don't know. I don't want to get all emotional, but
cry.
And I'm getting a little.
Well, tell people what's the oh boy, good thing you're not acting on the album. Wait, speaking of acting though, what's the movie that's coming out?
Oh, it's out. Tar. It's a horror movie.
Cool.
It's what you expect of a horror movie that's coming out. But I'm funny in it, and there's some really funny parts. And so, Right. You know, it's like a comedy horror movie. It's really cool, and I got a new show coming out on Jewish Life TV.
Awesome.
If you happen to just be scrolling through the 700s on your guide, you might be able to find me on a show called The Word. And
what is that about?
It's like a panel show where we like riff about parts of the Torah. You know what? It's as funny as it sounds. It's actually like been funny and fun to do. It's not like heavy-handed religious shit, which it sounds like. I wouldn't do it if it was that, but it's like, you know, it's lighthearted. It's cool. It's
how many cantors have slid into your DMs?
Just about as many cancers. I'm not talking about the disease. I'm talking about the astrological sign, baby.
Oh my God, Jewish Life TV, dude! If you got the 700s, what cable provider or package do you need?
I don't even know if it really exists. Maybe I'm just getting paychecks that are all gonna bounce. But I've been doing this show over Skype, and I don't know if it's real or not.
The biggest dude. Here's a new conspiracy for all those flat earthers. Jewish Life TV ain't even real, man.
I'll just say this for all the conspiracy theorists that think Jews run the media, Google Jewish Life TV and you'll realize that Jews do not run the media.
Yeah. That's so funny. Well, congrats, man. And
dude, thank you. I miss you. I hope you have a ton of fun in New Zealand. I'm so psyched for you doing that.
Me too. If I ever go, I'm in Australia though, so I'll try to enjoy it here.
Are you?
Yeah, you thought it was. I had a layover in New Zealand. Maybe that's.
Yeah, I got. Dude, New Zealand, right?
New Zealand. Oh, you know, I'm in Australia.
Dude, New Guinea?
No.
Dude, Papua New Guinea?
That is Papa Roach.
Papa Roach, bro.
Polly, I watched House Guest for the second time in my quarantine.
Dude, I'm sorry.
No, it was really funny.
No,
the premise is really great. Real quick, we talked about Danny DeVito earlier and just how you adore shorter fellas being filled with rage, and you do a great DeVito. Is there ever a world where we could hear Danny Danto DeVito, or Daddy Danny DeVito, or Daddy Danto DeVito, or some version of that, give a review or a pitch for people to go listen to Daddy Boy?
Yeah. I wish you weren't in Australia and I could do the prank call treatment to your favorite Thai restaurant as Danny DeVito, which probably isn't even open right now.
Oh, we still probably could. You could pull up a Thai restaurant right now.
We'll save it for the next podcast, but
actually I could pull it up on my phone and you could do it through the computer.
I'll call him. I want the pod Thai, but I want you to make it with a little extra spice, if you know what I mean. Stick it in one of your crevices, but do it while you're listening to Daddy Boy.
All right, let's see here. Oh, they're all closed.
Yeah, it's late.
Oh, really? What time is it there?
11:40.
Bummer. All right, next time.
I want you to give me a chicken satay that you nuzzle underneath your armpit while you're listening to track 3 of Daddy Boy, Sandy Danto's comedy debut album that me and my wife Rhea Perlman have listened to on repeat while we bang in a Wendy's dumpster. I love the track about him making his kids have a rat tail so that they won't get molested. I know personally, my wife Rhea Perlman would never molest a kid with a rat tail. You're familiar with Cheers' Rhea Perlman?
Oh, yeah.
She's been my wife for many years.
Wasn't she in Matilda? She was the mom in Matilda, right?
She's the mother in Matilda. I wrote and directed the film. Of course, it's an adaptation from the Roald Dahl book. Real anti-Semitic author, but wrote some great stuff. Source material for the movie Matilda, which I starred, co-starred with my wife, Rhea Perlman. I directed. We banged on set several times. It became a real problem for the SAG-AFTRA people.
Wasn't it like it was like in your rider to have like purple Skittles, like yellow Fruity Pebbles only, and like for like a window for you to bang in front of all the extras?
I did have a stipulation in my contract that the extras did have to watch me bang while they showered me with yellow Fruity Pebbles. And yes, that did happen. And there were several people that needed to be paid off by the studio. But those are in the days when there were big Hollywood budgets and they could afford things like that.
Thank God there was no social media back then.
But you got to think about how good a press that would have been from a children's movie like Matilda.
Oh, I love you.
Love you, Eddie boy. Man.
Go get it everywhere. I'll be posting a link in a video tomorrow morning for people to go while this is out. It's actually already out, so as we speak. But go.
Thank you so much for doing this. I love you.
You got it. I love you too.
So much fun.
One of the funniest people ever. Yeah. Good just to see someone. When the guy came in to do my COVID test on day 10, and he was in a hazmat suit. And after he put the fucking thing in my throat and my nose, I was like, dude, honestly, you can put it anywhere. This is the first person I've seen in 10 days. And I was like, you want to hang out and have a beer? He's like, nope. And I was like, all right. You sure?
You want to hang out and do COVID tests on each other? me and Rhea have been giving each other COVID tests since the 90s.
Get out of here, buddy.
We just stick pieces of floss up each other's nose and bang.
I love you, bud.
Love you too, man. Thank you.
All right. Cool. That was great.
Thank you. So much fun.
Yeah, man. Yeah. Thanks for staying up a little later to do it. So what were you? You were singing to Shy? You do her nightly sings?
So the nighttime routine is that Sally, like, I can't be in there for the beginning of the bedtime routine because I get Shiloh too riled up.
Just your existence?
Just me being in there. Even if I'm like laying down in the corner on my phone, she'll run over to me and like play and like want me, like jump on me and like, so Sally is like the one that gets her calmed down.
Holy shit.
And then
once
Sally's like read her some books and like turned off the lights and gotten her calmed down and put her in bed, then I come in and Shiloh, as soon as I come in, she goes, Daddy songs? And I sing her songs. You know what one of her requests consistently has been lately, and it makes me think of you every time?
Please.
DuckTales. She's obsessed with DuckTales.
Fuck, now I'm
like, so... Ducks, ducks, ducks. And I'll sing DuckTales, and she'll sing it along with me. It's so cute.
Now I'm... Oh, God, now that makes me even more upset that I'm not Launchpad.
I know, but, you know, it'll happen.
That's amazing. Is she... So then you sing that? And
she's into the original one anyway. So.
Okay, good. That's amazing. How's the new house?
Dude, I can't wait to have you over. It's so fucking awesome.
Are you in heaven?
Yeah, it's really... I'm not because unpacking and like getting...
Oh, yeah.
And like I forgot about house noises. You know, like noises in the night from like... different stuff in the house, and I've woken up the last few nights like, what the fuck was that? It's like, oh, it's the house noise. Like the air conditioning is turning on. I forgot about that.
Yeah, I was gonna say, like, what things are, is there is it make it tough to sleep, or
it's just like so new that it's not like I'm just not like comfortable it's not like my comfort zone yet, but it's just because like there's boxes everywhere and chaos, and like we've had workers here like all day every day, like electricians, guys doing our kitchen and bathrooms, and so it's just chaos. But like once that's all over, it'll be easier to settle into.
I'm so pumped for you, man. I can't wait to come over. As soon as I get back, we'll do that.
When are you back?
November 19th.
Okay, not too long. I'm so psyched for what you're doing. Thanks, and I cannot wait to watch it.
Yeah, I got 10 more days until I shoot. So,
wow. You're out of quarantine.
Out of quarantine, yeah. This is my second day, so.
What's the gap? What's the big gap in between quarantine and shooting?
Shoot schedule and, you know, I'm sure they just wanted people here too, just in case things shifted in case something happened and you had to quarantine again. I don't know.
Yeah. What city?
Brisbane. I've had shit to do. And Ronnie Chang helped me set up with a few shows. I'm going to do one on Wednesday and Friday. And so
Gold Coast, mate.
The Gold Coast is so super cool. They've been filming there. I think it's only an hour away. So I think I'm going to maybe go there in the next couple of days. But, you know, I wake up early to do Hyundai and stuff. And I have other things to do and self-tapes here and there. And like this script that I'm thing I wrote based on that Stu Temperature party character from back in the day. I wrote it with those two guys. I think Peter and Sam, you've met them before, those sketch guys, the Bad Weather Film guys or whatever. And we wrote it, and I, you know, got a bunch of general meetings out of it, but nobody wanted to make it. But it was a thing that got me meetings. And I was like, well, I should go back through it. I really love that movie and whatever. Wrote it 4 years ago. I realized I pulled it up. Dude, I'm on page 70 of completely rewriting, punching up. I mean, so it's been fun because the whole base is there. So now I'm just going through punching it up, but I'm reading it being like, I can't believe I put my name on this. Like, it's not funny. It's just, so much stuff. I'm just like, here's how to make this better.
It's not mature. It's not like,
I mean, it's fine to have some blue things. I just made better jokes, better choices.
Yeah.
Specified a lot of story stuff, made the character, which was a big note, a lot more likable. And I'm finishing
it's
that.
Funny, I've rewritten two pilot scripts in quarantine.
Yeah.
And felt things. I'm like, I sent this to people.
I know.
I just came up with a movie idea that I think I'm going to write for you to be the lead. It's called Moving Day. It's a horror comedy movie.
Yes.
It's Moving Day. Moving's a nightmare. And like the first act is all like social nightmare stuff where it does the whole, like the horror movie thing where it's like the suspenseful music, but it's all like social situations that you would be horrified to be in. Like the movers broke your priceless vase and you didn't get the insurance. And it's like, or like they showed up late and now there's nowhere to park the moving van and all your neighbors are mad at you because the fucking, you know, like all like the, it's like basically like Curb if it was framed as a social horror movie. Yeah. But then the second act, it's like actually the house that he moved into is haunted.
That's great.
He's got his black friends there to help him move. And they're like, he's like, yeah, I guess someone was murdered here or something. He's like, We're from Detroit. Every house that everyone lived in, someone was murdered in. He's like, I think I'm going to call the cops. And then they hear the horror movie. They're like, no, don't call the cops. And they're afraid of it. You know what I mean? Like, like a lot of elements of like comedy and horror, but then people actually do get murdered.
I love it. Yeah. I'm sure there's so many, like just even going through what you're going through moving wise, like it's probably just sparred so many ideas, right? You're focusing on so many new like life details of interactions between you and the movers and meeting new neighbors. It's just always
the
like
new neighbors thing is
hence fun the movie Neighbors. But there's takes on that. Here, let me take a picture of us real quick.
Wait, let me turn on my light.
Yeah. Great. All right, bud. Well, hopefully I'm talking to you about a successful Tuesday. Can't believe tomorrow.
Oh yeah. Yes. Let's chat this week. Thank you so much, Adam.
Yeah, it was really great, bud. Really great. And I'll post.
I want to have you on mine too. So if you're bored in the next week, let me know.
Of course. And I'll post a clip. It's too late now, so I'll do it tomorrow. And then post some clips from this throughout the week too.
Thank you.
Yeah.
You're the best. Love you, bud. Love you too, man.
All right. Talk to you soon.
Seeking the truth never gets old. Introducing June's Journey, the free-to-play mobile game that will immerse you in a thrilling murder mystery. Join June Parker as she uncovers hidden objects and clues to solve her sister's death in a beautifully illustrated world set in the roaring 20s. With new chapters added every week, the excitement never ends. Download June's Journey now on your Android or iOS device, or play on PC through Facebook Games.